Welcome to the Work Reset Revolution. I started Work Reset Revolution to help inspire people to change the way we work. And all our research, we're beginning to see the shift towards taking steps to our helping our planet. And this dedication I have now put towards this series of climate well-being. And with me today, I'm delighted to have Steph Wright, who is the chairman and founder at Gusto Group. Steph, fantastic to have you here.
Thank you for the invitation, Cara.
Wonderful. So I wanted to chat to you really and just ask you the first question in terms of what are your thoughts on what are the biggest challenges that workplaces are currently facing?
Oh, there's challenges all over the place when you're trying to grow an organization. I think it's getting people aligned with a vision. I think that's almost the most important challenge, to have a purpose that's a purpose that people want to buy into, and then a purpose that's communicated throughout your organization that everybody feels a part of. So I think that's almost needs to be the key thing that all organizations need to have to get everybody focused in the same direction. So yeah, that's the biggest challenge.
Amazing. And do you think, because there's so many organizations out there that have been around for quite a while, so would you say that it's a good time to start revisiting purpose, mission, and all of this at the moment?
Well, I think most people that work for companies, if you ask them what the purpose of their business was, it's probably to make money and to make money for their shareholders. Dependent on where they sit within the organization, they'll probably say that begrudgingly it's to make money for the people that are sat at the top table within our organization. And then they'd have to actually take a step back and think about, apart from what product do they make or what service do they provide, but what is the inherent purpose of why we turn up for work every day? I think a lot of people would find that quite difficult to communicate. And I think that's the, if we can get people all behind a purpose that they feel motivated and driven to achieve, then, I think that's how organizations can move forward more quickly. And that's also how people can feel more connected to what they do and feel that they've got a purpose within their lives, because we spend so much of our time at work.
Yeah, absolutely. So maybe that leads me into the next question in terms of what are the solutions to these challenges? Like, where do we need to go in order to shift things to help look after our climate in a better way?
Well, for me, it's always been about trying to imagine a different type of future. So understanding the science is important. Understanding the science of the impact that we collectively have on the planet has to be a starting point. If we don't understand the science and we don't understand our impact, then we won't make the right decisions in not only the way we build our organizations, but also what services and products our organizations should be delivering. Because if those services and products don't fit into what is effectively a sustainable future, then why are we doing them in the first place?
Yeah.
So I think you have to have that sort of vision of what the future is going to look like. And I think that's something that's vastly missing. You know, we hear politicians talking about how things should change, and we talk about the trillions that are needed to be spent to navigate us to a low carbon economy. But there's very little time and effort put into actually creating visual images for people to see. You know, can I see what the future could look like?
Yeah.
You know, can I imagine myself living in that future? What would it be like? How would I live? What would the benefits be to me, you know, to my health? I had an interesting conversation a few months ago with the deputy governor of the Bank of England, and I asked him, what the economy would look like if the economy wasn't focused on material consumption and was far more focused on our health and well-being. And I mean, to be fair to him, he said that the Bank of England hadn't modelled it and it wasn't something that they were tasked to model. But to me, you know, if you're looking at the economy needs to look like in the future. And the economy can't be an economy where we just consume more and more in the hope that that's going to make us happier and happier, because I think it's been well proven that that isn't the route to happiness. And it's certainly not the route to a healthy planet.
No, I completely agree with you. And it's one of the reasons I created quite a few months ago, these letters from the future to sort of help people, you know, actually start to vision what could it be like? What could our future look like? Because we know from science, the brain needs to know where it's going, right? And currently, I would completely agree, we're not seeing those future models of actually, you know, we're seeing the doom and gloom. We're seeing, you know, COP28's on its way. What if some wonderful future modeling would be up there so that people would get an idea of where we are heading in a positive way instead of a negative? And so I'd love to hear a little bit more about the work that you do at Gusto, and also hearing more about your own personal mission on how empowering communities can help change the world.
Well, I'm in terms of work-life balance, unfortunately, as an entrepreneur that really started out being entrepreneurial at the age of probably 15, 16, not concentrating on my education, concentrating far more on just doing things and making things happen and starting off little business enterprises. And then I got into building, and then I started to do a little bit of development, and then I got interested in sustainability off the back of what was effectively COP1, which was a Rio summit in 1992. And then off the back of that, looked at new technologies that we could put into residential housing to make them run more efficiently. So I've always been, my lines between work and personal life have been so blurred that I'm really not a very good example of somebody that knows how to bring balance to the workplace. Now, as I've got older, you know, I've tried to change the way that I interact with work, because I know as you build an organization, you can't expect everybody within your organization to have the sort of chaotic blurred lines that you have as a entrepreneur and as a founder. I'm very much have grown a group of companies. We built houses, then we started to build very sustainable houses using lots of new technologies, and then we realized that actually it's not just about building houses, it's about building communities. It's about when we build 30-40 houses, that's the first bit of the job done, but the next bit is actually to help to grow a community within those houses. And then when you start focusing on that, that actually massively helps you in terms of the design and the layout of your developments, because you start thinking about how is this community going to interact. So over the past, I would say 25 years ago, we were building houses. Over the past 15 years, we've really started focusing on building communities, so much so that we actually have somebody whose job it is community after we have built the houses. And then we have shared facilities within the communities. So we build developments where people have a big shed and they all share the mowing machines and the plant and the equipment that they're going to use across the site, because, you know, we don't need to have 30 lawnmowers on a site. You know, we can have a few good quality bits of equipment that people can share.
So true. We
try to design in allotments into our developments, partly because it's good for people's mental health, it's good for their physical health to grow stuff, but it also brings people together. So these are meeting places for people. So I grew up in a very small village, years and years ago. I'm 61 years of age. I think because my father was a, there was a generation gap between me and my father. He was 50 when I was born. And I think to a certain extent that meant that that very old-fashioned type of community was something that was just part of our family. And that's the way we thought and talked. And then you grow up in a small village that was a tiny little community. It was easy for me, I think, to very quickly jump back to that and then try to reinvent it using modern technology and modern sort of thinking. So, yeah, we've got to go back to the future. We don't need to have too sort of many rose tinted glasses of history, because you know not everything was perfect in the past. But certainly that sense of community and localism was something that, because that's what we did, we got good at doing it, and that's something that we're in danger, I think, of forgetting, and we need to go back to our physical communities.
And COVID offered people a taste of that, really, I think, really, when we were all back at home and neighbours were really sort of keeping an eye out for people on the street and how are they doing and how's the old person at the end of the street doing and has anybody checked on him and, and I think those kind of things are so important, right? So not just, from a perspective looking after each other, but the whole aspect of, knowing that there's a community there and that people can be relying on each other, absolutely.
And it's so easy to do it now, to set a WhatsApp group up with your neighbours. And so many of those, I think, were set up during COVID. People did very much connect to their neighbours and started perhaps to notice things, things in their local nature that they hadn't noticed before because they were too busy jumping into the car, commuting to work, and their head was full of other things. So it was that opportunity to reconnect. And I felt it was such a shame that once COVID started to disappear, how business as usual was really trying to almost force people back into the lifestyle that they had before. It was almost like, right now it's all over, let's get back to business as usual.
And that's happened, really, hasn't it? And I agree. I think it's a super missed opportunity. Yeah,
because we learned so much. We learned about video conferencing, for instance. There's so many different ways for us to do business that can bring that balance. And okay, there's going to be a downside from people working at home. It's not the perfect solution for everybody in everybody's situation and in everybody's job roles. But the answer isn't to go back to business as usual. The answer is to, identify what really did work during COVID and the bits that we need to keep and develop, rather than just throwing everything away and expecting, that business as usual was the only way forward.
Yeah, wonderful. So that leads me to my final question. So in terms of, a revolution that we need for the future, what does a work research revolution look like to you?
Well, we're going through the process as a company of becoming a B Corp. So I think the B Corp movement is very helpful. It helps you refocus your business on people, planet, and profit. So I think you've got to have that dual or triple focus. You can't just focus on profit. So that has to be the starting point for all companies. And then we're also going through a transition to become a fully 100% employee-owned company. So that is about empowering all the people that work for our company and trying to transition them to become entrepreneurs, business owners, In some ways, the downside of that is that the work-life balance of an entrepreneur is not always the best. But I think if you can engage your employees with the mission of the company, and if you can empower them through employee ownership to be a part of the success of the business, then I think that is going to be beneficial for them as individuals. It gives them a purpose. It gets everybody aligned behind a single mission. And from a business perspective, I would think there's no better way. I'm hoping there's no better way to set a business up to scale. And all businesses want to grow. Now, I know there's lots of issues around growth as a concept, and continual growth across a whole economy is not necessarily the solution. But growth of the right type of businesses that are delivering a purpose that sits within the vision of a new type of economy is they're the businesses that do need to grow, and they need to grow quickly. We can't tinker around the edges. You know, we have to literally come up with models that are scalable and are going to grow. And as they grow, the old-fashioned types of businesses that are not necessarily delivering the services and products that the new economy can support need to decline or transition themselves. You know, So, that to me is how we're going to try to navigate our future. And we're into manufacturing as well as construction. We're just opening up a co-working space. So we've moved into our new sort of Gusto House building. So we're putting a gym in there. We've got a plant-based cafe there. We're running sort of groups and clubs. We just did a course for empowering women in business. So we're trying to look at, you know, empowering people to develop their passion and business expertise, but do it in an environment that also focuses on health and well-being. And so there's some great opportunities. We've got artificial intelligence, which also needs to be a tool that we get hold of and use it to deliver the right type of future. There'll be lots of other people that are going to be using it just purely to focus on personal profit without
maybe the wrong type of future.
Well, it's about the consequences, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my thoughts for the future.
Wonderful.
To work together behind meaningful purpose.
I love it. Thank you so much, Steph. It's been a delight to talk to you today, and I know all our listeners will really enjoy it. So thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Work Reset Revolution. I'd like to know what has been your biggest takeaway from this conversation. As a next step, share this episode with anyone that you think may benefit. Follow us on LinkedIn at Softer Success for more inspiration to change the way we work, and contact us at info@softersuccess.com to find out more about our burnout assessment tool. If you have any feedback on how to improve, please do reach out to me, as I'm always keen to learn more. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll meet again on the next episode of Work Reset Revolution.